Today's message is about faith. I'd like to read a little chapter from Genesis 22 to get us to get our feet wet. It says, Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land Moriah and go there and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains of which I will tell you. It skips immediately to the next day. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Now, I feel like this would have been, hey, Ben. There would have been more paragraphs in between that evening. But Abraham wakes up and says he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw a place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, you stay there with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over here and worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took his hand with the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb of the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked up together. They came to a place which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife, but the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad, do nothing, for now I know that the fear of God is in you, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket, the horns. Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up the burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount the Lord, it will be provided. And you think about the insurmountable amount of faith in the beginning times. Obviously, this Old Testament seems very foreign to some of you guys that may not be very versed with some of the Old Testaments and the ways and the dispensation of the law. But during the dispensation of the law, it required a sacrifice in order to eliminate that sin. And it was very common practice for all of the people to sacrifice lambs, goats, chickens, birds, whatever they have, to because in order to alleviate that, there had to be blood atonement. So now us being in the dispensation of grace, that seems a little foreign to us. But the point I want to talk about is this man grew. He had all these promises that God had provided to him, and God called on him one day and said, I need your one and only son. And he woke up the next day and took his son up with him to the mountain because his faith, he knew, no matter what the cost was, God was going to come first. Now, that's kind of foreign in my mind because I'm born in the dispensation of grace. I'm not familiar with sacrificing things on a regular basis. I can't imagine what it would be like to take even my oldest boy and think that this is going to be a sacrifice to my God. That's very foreign to me. But you got to understand the amount of faith. He built the altar. He arranged the wood. He bound his son. And he stretched his hand against his own son. And God said, okay, wait a minute. I know you're real. I know you're with me. Obviously, I'm not going to harm you or allow you to harm anyone. But I need to know that you're with me. And when I think about that amount of faith, and the amount of challenges it takes for us to get off our guard, off our faith, right? Right? This man was willing to sacrifice his son, but yet financial challenges has caused me to waver in my faith, right? Or relationship disagreements or job situations or no job situations. Am I allowing things into my life that will control my faith? This man would have offered his own son. And you remember in Hebrews 4, it says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight. From his sight. See, in Hebrews, he goes on and talks about Abraham. He said, by faith, Abraham, who when tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise of the offering was his only son, to whom it was said, in Isaac, your seed, it shall be called. And he considered that God is able to raise man even from the dead, from which he also received him back as also a type. Abraham had no doubt he was going to slay his son. And you think about this. So in Abraham's mind, he said, I serve a God that's so powerful that he can raise the dead in front of me. My God has no limitations. So if he's requesting to me to slay my own son, Old Testament structure, that even God can bring him back. And so he chose. His faith was in no doubt. He was ready. He was there. In verse 22, he said, God will provide. But he knew in his heart that even if he did not provide, what he had to do. And I think about this power of faith. Can you imagine having the power of Abraham's faith in our lives today? What would that day look like? Do you think a stoplight would throw us off our game? Do you think a bad conversation with a coworker would stop us? Do you think physical health problems would cause us any problems? Yes or no? Yep. Think about it. If I had the amount of faith that I knew that my God is so all-powerful that he is absolutely in control of all things, to which that there is no sacrifice that is even great enough to give to him, that there's no ability that he couldn't provide, and I woke up and I live in that faith today, what could you do to deter me? What would my life look like? I wouldn't be discouraged. I wouldn't be defeated. I wouldn't have low self-esteem. I wouldn't be worrying about mistakes I made 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years ago. Amen? Right? Because I'm on that faith. I'm on that faith. I'm on that faith that God is able, no matter what. Story. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I'm thinking Shadrach. That came from somewhere else. It's Meshach and Abednego. Here's some guys' faith in the Bible. From the text, it's chapter 3, 8 through 18. You guys got to hear this. It's the worship of the image refused. So give you a little backstory. There's a king back in the day. He said, everybody in the land will worship me. And he comes across these three Christians. And he said, everybody's going to bow to me. And they said, I only bow to one God. I only bow to one God. And everybody had watched them up until this point in their faith. They didn't like them because they weren't like them. Right? They didn't fit in. They didn't fit in the crowd. They didn't do everything the crowd did. They didn't, you know, they did what was right and honorable in the sight of God. And if it wasn't, then that ain't me. Right? Amen? They walked that Christian life. They lived that Christian world. They had that Christian faith. And because of that, everybody around them didn't like them. So they turned them in and said, oh, they're not bowing to you, King. They're not bowing to you. And he said, bring them in. So here's the worship the image refused. Said, for this reason, at the time, the Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. You, O King, have made the decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, of all kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve you or your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in the rage of anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, the names of these men, brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I had set up. Now, if you are ready, the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image made very well, but if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. What God is there who can deliver you from my hands? So he said, this music's going to play. You're going to fall down. You're going to worship me. And if you do not, you're going into the furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If so, our God, who is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve you or your gods or worship the golden image that they have set up. They're standing there. The fire's going. He said, I'm going to play the music. I'm going to give you an opportunity to save your life right now. And they said, we don't need to take time into understanding this, because no matter what you do, I'm not serving you. I serve the one and only true God. Right? That's faith. That's that power of faith. Now, those of us that have read that and know the story is that he loses his temper, turns the furnace up 7 times hotter. One of his guards falls in it. Then they get thrown in there, and he looks in there, and he sees them. He actually sees another man, which some scholars during that time frame says Jesus himself there with them. He comes out, and not even a hair of their head was marred by the furnace. Not even a hair. And later on, the king continues to disregard God, and God strikes him down. For 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar ends up in a field crazy. He just loses it. And then he wakes him up again, and he comes back and he says, okay, you're the king of all kings. I'm not playing with you anymore. Give regard to God where the guard is due. But he still maintained his kind of own thing. But the point of the story is their answer. And I love this because I think to myself, if you took any single one of us today in this room and put the burning furnace on the right and said, hey, we're going to play this song. You bow down to this song, I'll let you go. And if you don't, you're going in the furnace. How many of us would have the faith to say, I serve the one and only true God? Amen. I know, I would like to say that. I would like to answer in the same way that he did. He said, King, we don't need to answer you concerning this. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the burning fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But even if he does not, O King, that we are not going to serve you or your gods or worship the golden image which you set up. Even if he does not, faith. That's what I want to talk about right now. How many of us got that, even if he does not, faith? And kind of touch on what he was saying a little bit earlier. He said, you know, our expectations for God is, you know, hey, I'm going to pray. I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. But, you know, how often are we praying, God, I need to be of use to you? Right? My mission is to share your love and your word and your understanding. You know, what is it that I can do for you? When am I praying to bless God? Amen. I'm always asking for help on my own. I need to have that mindset that I'm in. And these guys are saying, even if he does not, faith. Right? So let's put that in our own lives today. I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling so hard that I have stress that I have never had in my entire life. We'll get back to that. And that's on a personal level. And I said, even if he does not deliver, I will continue down this road. Amen. And you think about these roads that we've traveled, or my road specifically. Amen. My road's been very muddy. Very muddy. And there's been times when I prayed for long periods of time, and there's been a lot of time that's gone by. When you think about it, I need that, even if he does not, faith. Because I wonder, what if I don't succeed today? Am I going to lose my ground? You know? What about these guys that graduated from their programs? That's that, even if he does not, faith. You know? Where am I going to get there? I need this and this and this and this and this in my life, but what if I don't get it? Am I still on track? Amen? I've set these goals for progress in my life, but what if I don't achieve them? Am I still on track? Amen? I want to bring that faith into my life that whether I'm hungry or full or starving or tired or rested, that I have that faith that no matter what goes on, it doesn't fluctuate who I am. Amen? The situations that are coming about in our lifetime as far as finances, security, relationships, past relationships, challenges that are in front of us, we need that, even if he does not, faith in our life. Amen? God, this is something that I'm really hoping for. I pray that be your will, but even if not, I pray you still be with me. Amen? that I go down your path that you've chosen for me, not my path that I keep trying to steer down. So that Hebrews 1:2 says that now faith, that right now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval, even until death. See, right now faith, it's the activation of the faith that no matter what comes my way right now, you cannot test me. No matter what goes wrong in my life tomorrow, I will not be off guard. Amen? I lose my house, my car, one of my family members, my own life tomorrow. I do not veer from this path. That right now faith in my life protects me from the world. Amen? Of all the 653,000 friends that I made that want me to do other things, of all the temptations that are coming out of the world, of all the expectations of the Joneses and the grass being on the other side, I need right now faith in my life so I can stay on track. Amen? Right? I need that faith right now when that opportunity comes along, that pretty girl comes along, that money comes along, that temptation comes along, that addiction comes along. I need right now faith in my life. Amen? Does that make sense or no? Amen. You with me or not?
Amen.
Amen. I need right now faith in my life to defeat these challenges of temptations in the world. I need that. I need that Abraham faith that no matter what God called me to do, I believe that through Him I will achieve it. I want that faith in all of our lives. We need that right now. It's the assurance of things hoped for. So if I'm hoping for a better future and I know that I'm not where I want to be, but I've held on to this scripture and this faith in my life, I know already in my heart where God's taking me. I might wake up today. I might be incarcerated. I might be in a house, a halfway house. I might be in a program. Some of you guys are in all these different places that you're in. But if you wake up in God, it doesn't matter where you are. Amen? Because He's taking you to Him. He's taking me to Him. And it doesn't matter what alley, road, highway we take. If we're going to God, we're all going to the same place. Amen? If we went through the mud, but we're going to God, we're going to the same place. Amen? If one of us was lucky enough to ever have to go through all those years of addiction, trials, and prisons, and things like that, but you're going to God, amen? Right? We're all equal in the eyes of God. There's not a single one of us in here that's more important to the Lord. Period. Amen. He said, I didn't come here to save, but to save the sick. Hold on. He says, the conviction of things not seen. So I think to myself, and I think to you guys, and I question ourselves, when do we have that faith that we know that even though we can't see it, we believe it? Amen. I'd like to think that that kind of faith is in my life every day. And I'd like to think that we need that faith in all of our lives every day. That even when we can't see it, we've convicted it and we got it in there and it makes us who we are. And for by that, these old men gained approval even until death. Amen. That's so powerful to think about. Hebrews 11:32 says, now this is what they did with that faith. Who, by faith, amen, everybody say, by faith. Because I don't want to confuse how they did it, right? Because I've put a lot of hours in this week. I've made a lot of money this week. I have no money now. It's all gone. It's easy for me to say I did that, right? I'm the one that went to work. I'm the one that gets up at 5:30. I'm the one that goes to bed at 12:30. I'm still the one that doesn't have any money. That's a problem, right? 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 But I didn't do that. God does that. Amen. I'm the one that's blessed to have a family and a home and a bed and a light and a children and somebody eating Cheerios and make sure I go home. My little guy's in bed safe at night. Or am I thinking about all the other things in the world that I can't get my hands on? You know, it's really perspective. Perspective has so much power because we get trapped into that. I can't. Now all of a sudden we're missing all the things that we can. Right? God's provided each and every single one of us healthy enough to walk up in here, sit down clothed, and be fed. Amen? And the men of old, but He said, how did they do it? How did they do it? They did it by faith. And how did they do that? They conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness made strong, from the mighty in war, but foreign armies to flight. In Luke 7, with nothing, with God, nothing is impossible. Luke 1:37, with God, nothing is impossible. And I think if God can empower these men and put these men as an example to us to learn from. And we can see that they went through challenges that most likely I probably wouldn't succeed through. Right? Amen? Right? I don't know how many armies I've ever taken on before, but I don't know if I'm that run into the front of the army kind of guy. I'm willing to give it a shot, you know, but I'm probably run out of breath a block in, but I'm, you know, but I'm just saying these guys conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises. How many promises have you guys made to your family and let them down? How many promises have I made to my family and let them down? But if you look at my track history, since God came into my life, look at the accountability of faith in my life and how many promises I've came through on. Amen? Think of how many great intentions and how many plans I had for everybody that was so important to me that I didn't spend time with previous to my faith. And look at my family now. It's a no-brainer. It's plain as day. You can look right at it. But these guys, see 35 through 40... By faith, women received back the dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, and yes, also chains and imprisonment, that they were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by the sword. They went out in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in mountains and deserts and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised because God had provided them something better for us. So apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That's so crazy that these guys had that promise of God, that promise of John 3:16 that Mick's reading in the beginning of the group, and they realized that power of that message is so important that their life then was not. That this becomes the forefront of all that we do. And through it, it makes us who we are. And only through it could we be who we were intended to be. And they knew this. And half of them, at least of the disciples, 11 of them, died to bring us that message. And you think today, how are my problems now? Right? What about my stresses now? When I think about these guys that said, listen, I found Jesus Christ and I need to get that information to you so that you now could be safe. You can also have faith and you now can succeed. And I'm willing to die so that you can have that information. But me, I'm thrown off because things just aren't adding up. The perspective has a lot to do with that. He said the world was not worthy of them because God had provided something better for us. The answer is Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, 36 and 39 is Jesus. He says, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou wilt. And you know what happens next. I mean, you know what happens next, right? He then allows himself to be crucified for our sins because ultimately there has to be an atonement for sin. Period. But it's designed this way. We've been talking about this sacrifice from day one, but if you put it really in perspective and think about what he was willing to do in his faith in that very moment, he said, if it is possible, yet not as I will, as thou wilt, and he went God's way. He did it. He completed it so that we could have a chance to share that and that but if not. So where is our but if not today? You know, and the funny thing about this message that really rang to me today when I was looking at what I wanted to talk about, is I wrote this message on 8/25/2012 in prison. And since then, I've been out 8+ years. God has given me back relationships, my family, consistency. You know, he preserved my family through 5 years that I had to do the last time while I was in, which is a miracle in of itself, because if you look at statistics on wives waiting for their husband, it's probably 99.999996. right, they don't wait, right? I don't know. I was arrested with 35 of my best friends in one day. And within 6 months, their wives had divorced them. And my wife was on the phone saying, "We're not sure what's going to happen yet. Why would I do that?" And I think about the power of faith in the thought process, having done federal prison, then state prison, then somehow landed in a ministry that I was really just supposed to listen to. And here we are today. And this message was written and shared to federal inmates about faith, having faith. Do you think that I had the perspective to realize that this message would be shared 6 years and 3 months later in a ministry that God created that I take no credit for? Amen. So what situations are we being held back now? And what is it that's in front of us that we can't see through? Do you not think that with faith, God can't bring you there as well? If he could take me, an undeserving, insignificant man who has 7,653 charges with the state, and then put me in a exceptional job that I don't appreciate, and create all these different things in my life, you know, what can he do for you? And if he's talking to us, and in the word, he's clearly saying that for by faith, women receive back the dead. That gives you the assurance of the things hoped for, that they conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire. With faith, what cannot you do? That's what I want to know. Amen. If we could activate that right now, faith, that I don't care if he does or doesn't, faith in my life right now, I know I'm going. Amen, right? Because this is proof that he's taking me somewhere. Amen? Amen. Right? I faced 45 years plus a 3 to 18, and I have a full family back in less than 8. Yes or no? That's reality. That's nothing I did. I don't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. I've never done anything to deserve anything that I have to this day. But I'm here to tell you that God put me here because I can relate with you guys, that I've been through this mud. And for some reason, I'm very lucky to be able to share this message for you. But the message itself is what's important. The truth itself is what's important. It's by faith that we're going to succeed. Through our faith in Christ, that's how we're going to overcome our obstacles and get us to where we really want to be. Because I know that all of you are just like me. You would love to look your family members in the eye and see that they look you back in your eyes and know that they trust you. I know that you want to create something and feel like you're a part of something and get there. Amen? But I can assure you of this. Without faith, I have never, ever been able to achieve any of those things. And in faith, I very poorly, but somehow do, seem to achieve those things. Amen?